Hi, this is Upasana. This is my first podcast and it's interestingly happening from Munich. Today who I have with me is a German girl actually called Swa. And interestingly, she knows, or I got to know her because she works in India. So here's Swa. Just a little bit about her. Swa works in an organization in Dharamshala. It's a techie geeky organization according to how I understood it. But Swa will have us, will say more about it. So the first thing I'm going to ask Swa is that, so what do you do in Dharamshala?
What I do in Dharamshala, I enjoy the mountains. And I work on this thing called Hill Hacks. You find it on hillhacks.in. And it's going to be a series of workshops leading into a conference or unconference thing at the last weekend. So it will be 2 weeks long. We want to start with the want to work with the locals, with the children's, the Tibetan children's village, and give the locals more ideas about technology, what to do, also with arts. And we bought some tools like soldering irons. We most probably gonna have a laser cutter, and then we also want to bring together at the end the Indian and Tibetan and maybe Nepal hacker and maker scene to just be together, enjoy the time together, enjoy the love and technology, and hack and make.
So here's the thing. I mean, the first time I heard of hack, it generally doesn't have the greatest reputation if you think about it. But I was talking to Swa and she's telling me how they plan to use the hands-on concept that she has around technology, which means that it's interesting to me being an Indian, because we tend to somehow, not hack into things too much or buy them instead. So what's interesting is how Swa was explaining how she sees this unconference, so to say, and how people would really be able to make things on their own, including the agenda of the conference. So tell me more about this whole hands-on concept.
Yeah, I think I need to tell about my background then first. So here in Germany, we have this organization called the Chaos Computer Club, and it exists already since 33 years now. It was founded in 1981. And this Chaos Computer Club nowadays have a lot of such conferences, one conferences during the year and one big one in winter at Christmas. And there, the thing is that everything happens just because people would like to have it happen. So no one really gets paid. No one gets any revenue or any certificate or something. It's just about getting together and exploring the world, working on projects, getting together to improve the development. Because every time when you exchange with people who are trying to do the same thing, then maybe only in that moment you are really able to do that. And the idea of such conferences is also that there might be some main organizers who care for the venue and who care for the internet, and that there's some recording technology rented or something like this. But actually, at the end, everything just happens because someone is doing it. So the conference itself doesn't provide any anything, actually, except the venue. So it is only that people come and say, oh, this looks like we could do this and that. Like, do we need recordings? Okay, so I'm going to do it. And it is only, like, if there's no one coming doing the recordings, then there won't be any recordings. And so the conference is not in a way that you just go inside and you're an attendee. You pay the entrance fee and then you get your show. It's the entry fee is also then super, super low because there's no costs in employees and something. So people just go in and then they ask, okay, what can I do? What needs to be done? What can I do? What would I like to do? And what would I like to see? What I would like to see happening? And everything just happens because people would like to see it happening, and then they make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, like Swa told me before, and what she's even describing right now is somehow, to me, in many ways, moving towards empowerment. And, you know, from what I understand, and you would see it on the website itself, Hill Hacks, apart from working with just people who are interested in technology or might already be geeks, they also work with children and try and get them interested in, you know, what they can do. Like, I want to create something now and how do I do it? And they give them sort of like a platform and direction. So, I mean, you know, what's the whole idea of involving such different age groups? Why don't you just work with geeks?
Being with the kids is super important in many ways. I mean, if we see the world nowadays, how fast it changed. Like, we have been grown up without mobile phones, without internet, and now it's like the normalest thing on the world. You don't even know how to find information anymore without the internet. And this is the world where the kids grow up now. And if they really understand what the internet is about, and I mean the whole internet, not only the web, mm-hmm. and if they would understand what the whole internet is about, and if they would just start using it and understanding technology, being able to repair things, to produce things, even doing some circuit systems and making some lamps glowing, and then the kids can just, they can grow up so different into this technology, if they get some basic knowledge around it, if they know how a circuit system works, how the electricity comes inside and how the electricity is going to make this lamp glowing. And it's not like everyone who knows about circuit system can act this, it's not too difficult to understand how electricity goes into a lamp. Mm-hmm. And if you like interrupt the line, then the lamp doesn't glow anymore. Yeah. So this is super easy to understand. And also, I just showed you this paper music speaker. Mm-hmm. So it's made from a paper plate, and there's not that much on it. It's just some magnets and wiring. And then it actually makes music. Mm-hmm. And this is when kids understand the world, and this is actually their world. Mm-hmm. I mean, every generation needs to understand their world. Right. They also need to go out in the forest, and they need to find out how to cross a street or whatever.
Yeah.
But I believe they also need to know how the internet works, because when it comes to topics like privacy, which is my topic a lot, then I believe I don't want to tell the kids, don't use Facebook, it's mm-hmm. evil and you will get hurt and whatever, because this is not, it's not their real life.
Yeah.
They cannot just say, okay, I'm not using Facebook anymore. So what I try instead is just to explain them how the internet works, mm-hmm. with all the servers, and you can even in a classroom, you can just pass a paper,
yeah.
and you can tell, okay, this is how an email gets passed in the internet. Mm-hmm. Everyone can read it,
yeah.
if you pass the paper through the classroom. But if you fold the paper, if you put it in an envelope, mm-hmm. then others cannot read it anymore. And I just believe that if they understand how the internet works, then they use it more wisely, and also filter information. Don't believe everything which is written down, because we were grown up with the belief that everything which is written down in books mm-hmm. is the truth.
Yeah.
And we had to learn that there might be different newspapers writing different things, and everyone claims to have the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to connect all the information you have into your own truth in your own head. And this is even much, much more important than the internet. And then also the whole topic of open source, free and open source, that the kids just know, okay, there is a whole community where I can learn from,
mm-hmm.
where I can get things,
yeah.
and I don't even have to give something back. I can just take it, and it's not about money. It's not about being famous or whatever. It's just some people who write things, write software engines, just put it out in the world so that others can use it, that they also understand the concept of this New world.
I think there are multiple things that you spoke there which sort of like, you know, piqued my attention basically. One of them, of course, is that, you know, just this whole understanding of a new media world, because there's so much happening at one time.
Yeah.
And kids are like, you know, they've grown up with the internet. So, you know, while there is a part of them which already knows, they still don't know the history. And so there's, of course, merit in explaining, you know, how it all came about, which is interesting to them. The other thing was about open source. And from an Indian perspective, I find it very, very interesting to also ask you, like, how do you deal with, do you deal with the ethics that come around, for example, plagiarism? Because like you said, there's no money, there might not be fame,
yeah,
but there's definitely something not right about just copying someone's work without giving them credit.
Yeah.
So do you talk to the kids about it or?
Definitely. So the whole issue, and that reminds me that I didn't say anything about the word hack, which we actually should do. So you were mentioning it as well. So the word hack is in all over the world, people would connect it firsthand with something negative, someone who's a criminal who breaks into computer systems and all this. We have the special place in Germany for that word because the Kiosk Computer Club, the CCC, is already so old. So the term is just, it always was more, approachable for the people even already in the 80s and the 90s. And so the hacker in Germany got more like a, let's say like a Robin Hood person who breaks into computer systems to take out the stuff and to show the people, okay, like give the food to the poor. That's, I mean, that's only an analogy. No one took out money to give it to the poor. But they were finding flaws. For example, in the 80s, in one of the really early systems, it was a television-based system. And they found a flaw there, so they made it overnight. And they actually got a huge shitload of money from out of that flaw, of that error they found. And then the next morning, they went to the press. And said, okay, we get now like 10,000 Deutschmark overnight. And we don't want to have that money. We just wanted to show that there is an error and that it needs to be fixed. And so the hacker is someone who definitely also tries to like break systems. But the most important part is to look into systems. Like often if you open a box and you want to look inside, you kind of also have to break it. But you can also open it. And even if you break it, you can open it, look, and then you can turn it, you can put it back together and then you just wrap around some duct tape so it will work again. So it's not broken, even if you have broken it in a way. So the term hacking nowadays is much, much wider and also worldwide. It starts that even journalists make the distinction between a hacker and a cracker. So the cracker is more the criminal who steals your credit card data and all that. And a hacker is the one who's working creatively with technology. And technology as well is in a really wide sense. So nowadays, a hacker is also someone who's playing around with 3D printers. They're also called makers then, because what they often do is something you can touch with your hands. So you actually make something. So, but this is also just, for me, it's just a subpart in the hackers itself. And it's just you take a piece of technology, and it doesn't have to have a piece, it doesn't have to be a piece which you can touch. It can also be a piece of software, but it can also be a cultural technology, like blogging or something, which is also technology. You take it, you understand how it works, and then you might use it in a different way because you understood the technology itself and how it functions, and then the ones who developed it once, they had a special purpose. But often stuff can also be used for something else. Like you have a water heater, it's used for water heating, or a coffee machine, it's used for making coffee, but a coffee machine also heats water, so you can also make tea, and you can even even use it for making a soup. So if your oven is broken and you cannot make a soup, you can also use your water heater for that. Sure, that's what people do. But it's just using stuff in a creative way, which the inventors haven't thought about.
But I mean, wouldn't you still want to give credit to the original inventor in some sense?
Definitely. And this is now coming back to your question. So the credit thing, this is really important. So sure, open source is often for free, but there's the saying, it's free as in freedom and not as in free beer. So it might be often as well as in free beer, as in you don't have to pay for it. But giving credits to the one who actually invented it is always included. Yeah. You would always refer to those people. And even if you are not sure, you would contact them beforehand and say, hey, I've seen this idea. Can I do it again, like in a different way? Mm-hmm. It's called a fork.
Yeah.
It's often called a fork. If you take an idea and you just develop it in a different way, so it's like a path that makes a fork into two directions. So the inventor and the main developer would go his way.
Yeah.
He wants to have it like this, but you want to have it like he's want to have it blue and you want to have it green. So yeah, you just make a fork, mm-hmm, and make everything in green. And you definitely always refer to the ones who actually put in the work. And this is also, it is a little bit like an ecosystem, which doesn't base is not money and the base is not getting some titles or something. It's the ecosystem is more about reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have done something good, and then you can get famous,
yeah,
by writing a good piece of software, and then people would even... Okay, I don't think that's going to happen, that someone would recognize you on the street, especially not in India. But you can be a celebrity within the scene if you do something good.
Yeah.
And this could even mean that your day job is just driving a taxi.
Yeah.
But while driving the taxi, you also write some code. And then you will get invitations to conferences, mm-hmm, and maybe some company is asking you, hey, I want to use your piece of software, but could you come by and make a training with my people?
Yeah.
So it's always very important to see who invented something, and also to refer on it. And it's not about just copy and paste things.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about taking and remixing. Remixing is a good keyword, I guess.
Okay.
It's about getting the stuff. You see it very often in the internet with pictures.
Yeah.
People take pictures from the press or whatever, and then they remix it. They gave this politician a bubble who's saying something funny, mm, and then there would be a cat coming in and saying something funny as well. So this is just remixing. So there as well, you take the photo from a photographer.
Yeah.
You don't pay for it. But the guy, the photographer, most probably when he sees, then he finds it funny as well.
Yeah.
And maybe his publisher, who actually paid for the photograph, would say, but they used it without any like paying or whatever. But this is it's like at home. It's like with your family and whatever. You have your stuff which belongs to you, but others can also take it and borrow it and use it and add things, and unless they don't break it.
Yeah.
And in the digital sphere, we have this, I mean, it's a luxury that we have unlimited copies.
Yeah.
So if you want to lend you something, I just give you a copy of it, and then you can make your own fork.
Yeah. But how does, where is this like community coming from? I see like, you know, a lot of these groups that are doing hacking, even if it's ethical, like how you described it, they somehow seem to organize themselves in nondescript, very unknown groups, almost like a secret society. But, you know, why does it function like this? Why is it not more open? Why are these people not out there? I mean, is it more creative like this? Like when you're, you know, not really out there in the public? How does it, why is it functioning like this?
I think it's because it's like a trust community as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very dynamic, and it's very open. So in those communities, you wouldn't see any... Yeah, there would be young people, old people, and no one would make any difference.
Okay.
If this is the young person, old person, with so many people, I don't even know how old they are, and this just doesn't make any, it's just not important at all. And I think nowadays it kind of happened that people try to find a little bit, maybe even a shelter or something,
mm-hmm,
because now the skills those people have,
yeah,
the computer and technology, like having understood all that stuff, is super valuable. Mm-hmm. And people always come and ask, hey, I lost my password, can you help me? And I found this computer, like, from my whatever brother, he died, and there's some data on it and we need it. And then people just, or someone else comes and says, oh, the NSA is behind me, and I need to wear tinfoil hats to get rid of the wave lines. And so you get a lot of requests and a lot of crazy people. So that might be a reason why you just get together. But speaking of that, I also would like to tell how the group who's making Hillhex got together. Because that's also quite an interesting story. And it happened totally dynamically, and it is still totally dynamically. And it is an open group, so everyone can also just join in anytime. So I was in India last year working for the Center for Internet and Society. And I was around in India in different cities doing talks, and I was hosting crypto parties. And then some people were just asking me, why don't we have something like CCC in India? And I just said, yeah, why not just get together and start doing so? Where's the problem? Mm-hmm. But after a while, I just had and it's a really personal observation. Mm-hmm. I just observed that all those people, they exist in all those cities, but they don't have any point where they get together. So they get together in the internet and they work together on projects, but there's like no hacker spaces. Okay, there are a few.
Yeah.
But it's not that common as I'm used to be here. And especially there's no conference, which is only for the community. Mm-hmm. There was, there used to be the FOSS.in, which was for free and open source software, but it's not happening anymore. And I just had the idea like, this would actually be very helpful, and but I wasn't really, like, I was just thinking about it. And then I got introduced to Akiba. Mm-hmm. He's living in Japan, and he was in Dharamshala before working with the kids at the Tibetan Children's Village, doing some workshops on creative technology. Also did some wireless workshops with the local wireless people. Mm-hmm. And so he always wanted to come back. And so someone introduced us to each other. So we had this email thread, and there were a lot of people in CC. And he said, yeah, I definitely want to come back and do again some workshops. And I said, yeah, I had the idea to bring together the Indian hackers and makers a little bit, and also include the people from the humanities as well, because I have the feeling everyone is just working on their own, and there's like no place where they all can get together. And then we just said, yeah, great, let's merge this. Mm-hmm. So we can have some workshops and then invite people, and at the end everyone is there, and then we can just get together and have the conference of the experts at the end.
Okay.
So this is how we get together, and this is also why we have this like two main ideas. The one hand side, the local empowerment with the kids, and at the other hand side, bringing together the Indian hackers and makers, and kind of also to help to form a scene and establish a community, which is already there, definitely. Mm-hmm. There's the Null, the Null people. It's a Null open security group. They are based in various Indian cities. They have a lot of chapters, and this is a really, really beautiful initiative. I was so happy to learn about it, because what they do, they meet monthly and they teach each other in security. It's only about security. It's not politics or something. But everything is for free. It's a rule that there's no entry fee, that no one gets paid for the workshops, for the talks they hold. And I was super happy to learn that this is also happening, because the Hillhex itself also, everyone who wants to do a talk, and I hope there's going to be a bunch of people who would like to do so, we are not able to pay you.
Yeah.
We are not able to give you a super fancy room and pay you a flight and whatever. Mm-hmm. So we would be able, most probably, as we get some grants now, to pay you some travel expenses. We can accommodate you, but that means sharing a room. And it is... It will be super, super simple. There will be food, but it will be simple food. And you might have to walk from the bus station up the hill. And you might need to do your own dishes after food. And it's more like, yeah, the unconference. It's like a camp. You are together. And you would also sit together with the people in the evening, listening to music and just chilling and just talking about the topics you're working on and get connected to the people and feel the people. You don't even have to, like, it's not about talking about technology all the time as well. Mm-hmm. So we're also thinking to have some talks for the general public, which would include technology, sure. Like basic things like Wikipedia, OpenStreetMap, some introduction in cryptography things, but also maybe about mud housing, mm-hmm. and maybe about the irrigation systems, which are super important up there.
Right.
And maybe about the Tibetan issues and about women rights and all those topics, which are also super important. So it's about coming out of the, yeah, we say it in German, coming out of the snail home. Mm-hmm. Have a look, look around you and look around these other people. And I, what I hope is that the people who come together, and I'm actually pretty sure that this is going to be the case, even if one of them is coming from the maker scene, one of them is coming from the humanities, one of them is a coder, they have a common base, mm-hmm. because they have grown up together with the internet and also with the concern what is going to happen with the internet, what's going to happen with technology, mm-hmm. and what needs to be done that it goes the right way.
It's interesting to me that, you know, there's so much about technology and the internet that you also work on, and, you know, you would have people like that coming together as well. But there's still so much emphasis that, especially right now, you were giving on, you know, meeting in a physical space.
Yeah.
So away from just like, you know, the digital ways in which people interact, but getting onto like a real physical space and listening to music, talking to each other. So, you know, why do you think that's required? Like, why do you need a physical space?
This question is there every time when I, also with the people, like friends who are not that much into the geek scene, then they also wonder, because I also, I'm working on this Congress in Germany, this conference we have very much since a couple of years. So then often people ask me, hey, why don't you, like, you guys are using the internet so much, so why do you have to meet?
Yeah.
So it is still, like, on the internet you have different qualities. Mm-hmm. So you are out of geographic borders.
Right.
So we can just chat to anyone in the world without even if he's sitting on the same table, you can chat to him.
Yeah.
And maybe you chat in a room where there's 10 other people, mm-hmm. and those people are in different places, but you and him are sitting at the same place. Mm-hmm. So you could actually talk to each other, but instead you choose the media because then the others are included as well. So you have qualities, which is the being independent from geographic locations. Then also you have a different time. So time is still running also on the internet, but you can have a conversation like we have, mm-hmm. at the moment sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
We could also have such a conversation in a chat online via email, right. and it would take weeks and weeks, and I would answer maybe in 3 days, mm-hmm. but at the end it would be the same conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is qualities you have. Then you have So there's everyone, I mean, you all know Twitter is having special qualities because you can just shout out loud, everyone can listen to. And but the physical space does have qualities as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see each other. This is still very important, to look in the eyes,
mm-hmm.
and touch each other. And also being on such a place like we're gonna provide in Dharamshala. So if you are up for, you can come for 2 weeks and hang around with the people, so you actually live together.
Mm-hmm.
So you get much, much closer. And also when it comes to work, I've just discussed this with a friend who's a Tor developer, mm-hmm. and they have Tor is a software for anonymity in the internet. And so the Tor developers, they are spread all over the world, and so they work on it all year long. But then they also have those so-called Tor developer meetings, mm-hmm. and he's saying when we sit together for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, there more work gets done, which we would have needed month for this. It's like it's as valuable as working half a year at home, being 1 week together with those people. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, also everyone knows this, what happens in the internet if there's some discussion, like there's some topic which needs to be discussed and not everyone is in the same opinion on that, and you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
So this always ends up being in flame wars, and you always have people who have too much time writing too much things and then others who actually do have a nice opinion, mm-hmm. they are not even able to
voice it.
Yeah, to voice it, to contribute, because it's just too many emails already. And then there's also that chat, and then there's this discussion in the wiki with all those links you have to click and whatever. And if you actually sit together, you can just, you can just speak together and you come to a decision much, much easier. I think everyone who's exploring both worlds, both worlds can say any story about that, mm-hmm. and say the same, that actually meeting then brings a difference. But I wouldn't say that, like, if you don't meet someone, there can still be like very deep friendships and everything.
Like
it happens often that people work together for years and years and they get super close, and they also share very much personal things without meeting once in all those years. Mm-hmm. But to get things done, it is very, very fruitful and productive to just sit together and meet each other. And also, in the internet, you can also choose yourself whom you're going to meet.
Yeah.
You always choose yourself with whom you're going to spend time, as you do in the physical space as well. Sure, mm-hmm. every time. But in the physical space, still, you get connected to people you wouldn't directly choose yourself.
Possibly.
And this is also an idea to just bring together. Now in India, there is a maker fest, so all mm-hmm. the makers can go there.
Right.
But they wouldn't meet any people from the humanities there.
Yeah.
They wouldn't meet any software people. And I mean, also everyone knows all those hardware projects. They're mm-hmm. beautiful. But if you look into the code, it's often such a I mean, there's a reason why some of those hardware people doesn't publish the code. It's not that they don't want to have it and it's open source. It's just because they say, I'm just not much of a coder. I mean, it works, but it's not really nice. So I'm just not really proud of it. So I just don't want to publish it that way. Mm-hmm. And also the usual thing, like, I just need like one day and I sit on it and then it will work better and it looks better. And then I never find the time. So I just don't publish it. And so I believe that that people start getting to know each other, like hardware people, coding people, security people, that's super important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so here's my, it's almost towards my last question. How do you how does a German girl land up in India and start up a foundation and get to do so many things and know so many people, have a conference?
Actually, I just want to go traveling after finishing university. It ended up that I was checking the world map. Okay, I haven't been to Asia. Okay, India looks like a good point to start. And then I was looking for Indian IRC channels. Mm-hmm. That's an chat network. So looking for Indian IRC channels, I found the Haskeek channel mm-hmm. from Bangalore, and I found out about the CIS, the Center for Internet Society. And then I have seen, okay, they offer internships. So I thought, it might be nice to just go there for some month and then just get to know the country and then start traveling. And then, then I wrote them, and then everything happened really fast. And then I was there working there. And then I did it kind of self-organized. It was then Snowden happened. Mm-hmm. So after a month I was in India, after a month I was at CIS, Snowden happened. So I totally took the chance and did so much crypto teaching in so many different places. So I got together with many, many people. Also in India, I started to use Twitter for the first time in my life. I'm more old school when it comes to that. So there I got connected to lots, many people, and I was really impressed how powerful it is. But still, we need to try to stay independent from such medias because it's really centralized. And then, I did many conferences in Germany and I founded Hackerspaces all those years. I founded one with a group of people, but I was mentoring a lot of others and giving kind of consultancy, being around. And so I've just seen in India that this is, again, my very, very personal observation, but there is now a generation who doesn't have to get the best job, caring for the parents, getting married and all that. So parents might have a pension, so it's not that important anymore that you get the super best job to care for your parents. And that there's a generation now who's actually able to just play around and to just love technology, play around, try out things just because, no reason, just because, just because they want to, just because you can, just because you want to try, just because you want to know, just because of the curiosity. What happens if I do it again? Will the same thing happen? Will something different happen? When something different happened, why is it different? And it's the research, actually. It's the research as it should happen at university, what it doesn't do anymore. And I have the feeling that in India, it's still very important that you get the certificate and that you get the proper job and that you are going to the best university and all this. And I believe that places like Hackerspaces are in a very different way, a lot of knowledge and a lot of there's a lot of teaching going on and sharing in between those people coming together. And India is having such a huge technology community and everyone is like going for a startup and having a good idea and doing so great many things. I just think it's about the time to bring together the people and also to show the people, okay, you're not alone. Okay, I mean, they know that they're not alone, but also to get to know all those others and then also, exchange the knowledge, the energy and the whole being. Yeah.
So what's going to be your... the big idea of what should happen further with Hillhacks? How do you see it growing?
That we're going to see. So we make it for the first time this year. Akiba, he already bought a lot of tools. And so he's totally investing, as I am, because I'm working totally unpaid. I'm still living on money, which I earned in my university times. I had a very good job as a student. And India is for a German just not very expensive to live. So we are just spending a lot of time and money and everything to make this happen for this year. And this year, it's I'm really curious who's going to show up and how many people is going to show up and what people is going to be. Because we had a huge list of people we wanted to contact and we still have a lot of ideas. There are still people from the IIT Electronics Club waiting for an invitation I have to write that they can send it out to all the people. But sometimes then I think, so we didn't even publish. Like, we made the website, we then somehow started to use the Twitter, but we never really published in a way that we said, okay, we send it out to all our friends and we make this huge campaign and send it to press or whatever. So, and we already have a lot of people following the mailing list, following the Twitter account, being interested, telling it. So it's totally viral at the moment. And I also I mean, it's also lack of time. Time is running all the time. I'm trying to work full time on this, and but it's still not enough time. We might gonna have a volunteer or two from July onwards, and then we can also establish some more of those contacts. But let's say in the future, I would really like to see it happening each year. We might shift to May, going away from October. May is super pleasant in the mountains. And so we really would like to have this every year. So teaching the kids, coming together of the experts and merging this. So if you want to attend the conference and you're going to travel to Dharamshala, so you can travel already on Tuesday. So you reach on Wednesday and then you can still on Thursday, you can do something with the kids if you're up for. And then on Friday, you can do the conference. If you like, you can already come 2 weeks before, because if you're a freelancer, you can work from everywhere. And living in the village, it's much, much cheaper than living in the cities. And we do have internet as well. And it might not be that big and stable as you have it in Delhi or Bangalore, but it's still there and it's okay. And as a backup, 3G always works. That's super impressive in the mountains. Yeah. I was really impressed how good 3G works. You can walk up to Triund, which is the usual track people do in being in Dharamshala. And I was phoning, like voice over IP, calling my mom, hey, I'm doing 2,500 meters. And it was super good connection. Mm-hmm. And that's super, super curious. And how it's going to be in the future, we definitely don't know. So we got our first funds this year, which was already super excited because we didn't apply for a lot, but we got mainly everything we applied for.
Okay.
So this already feels very good that if you really try it, you can get some money. And we are hoping as well to have some more next year, because then we can also show what we have done before. Right. And this is what we're going to do again.
Yeah.
And then we are also maybe even able to pay more speaker travels and maybe even some fancy flights and whatever and an own room and all that stuff, because in India it's just so here in our conferences no one pays, like the speakers, they pay all themselves,
right?
And only if they're really coming from far, far away, like if an Indian wants to speak at the congress at our main conference, and then he's asking, okay guys, the flight is like super expensive for me, then there would be options. That's not an issue. But the default is that everyone cares for himself. Mm-hmm. Speakers even pay entry fee.
Okay.
And even the main organizers pay entry fee.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is of everyone is contributing as much as possible so that at the end, something like this can happen. And therefore, I cannot say that much for the future, because first of all, I need to know what's going to happen this year. Like who's going to show up, who's going to make what, and who really gets caught by the idea of having a free and open source conference, which is not only about free and open source, but which is free and open source.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone can just take it and fork it and do whatever he, she likes to do. And it's also about hands-on. It's not about entering the building and then, as I said, you get a show.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it is. It's like entering the building and then ask, okay, what can I do?
Yeah.
And what is my part?
Mm-hmm.
Why I'm here?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is invited just to come and see what he or she can do, and to be part of a knowledge exchange and a learning experience and a community experience, which might be very special, especially in the mountains.
No, I think it's very interesting, just by the sound of it. And it would be interesting also in India, where I think we are too spoiled by conferences where everything happens on its own. And I think this truly sort of brings together the idea of participating in something. And you know, if you have technology as the base, or however you put it, the internet, and see it as a more participatory medium,
mm-hmm.
I think people sort of, I'm sure they would get surprised, but hopefully this sort of builds a more strong attraction in how Indian people behave.
It's like a conference 2.0, like the web 2.0.
It is like that.
The difference, yeah.
I really do hope that, you know, people start doing more of it, because to me, I see like hands-on and doing things on your own is such a German thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in India, it used to be like that, but it's now people just don't have the time, or they like to have things which are more convenient. Yeah. So it would be interesting to like...
I think it's often, it's not about convenience or something. I have the feeling it's often only about confidence. It's that people are just so often in those authority things, like mm-hmm. schools, you have a teacher, he's having the authority of being the one who's right and speaking the truth.
Yeah.
I'm the pupil and I'm the student. So I'm the one who's the stupid one and has to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not speaking the truth. I have to learn about the truth. And so I think it's the whole schooling system and whatever just indicates all the time, okay, you're the students, you have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And here everyone is the student and everyone is the teacher.
Yeah.
And this is the difference. There is no authority. Like as that example I was telling you about the Congress, someone was asking me, is the Congress providing indoor navigation? And my answer, it was on Twitter, I was saying, no, the Congress is not providing anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have indoor navigation, just go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know how to do it, then find people who would like to do it. And then just make an entry in the wiki, call it indoor navigation. And then if others had the same idea, you can just get together there. And then at the end, you're maybe a group making indoor navigation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how all our systems at the Congress works.
Yeah.
Without that, we wouldn't even have a network. Nowadays, we do have a GSM network even. We have our own phone system.
Mm-hmm.
This is just because a bunch of people said, oh, wouldn't it be fun to have an own GSM network?
Mm-hmm.
And we said, yeah, sure, here's the plug. Use the electricity. What else do you need?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, nothing. Maybe some chairs and tables. And then there's a GSM network.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is how it works. So people just come, have an idea, do something, and it doesn't have to be infrastructural. You can also say, okay, I'm working on this robot and I never find the time. So I just pack everything in my car, drive up to Dharamshala, and there I have a week time to work on my robot.
Yeah.
And in between, I will show it to some kids what I'm doing. And mm-hmm. maybe I bring some more parts, and then we make a small robot who whatever turns the head in the direction of the sun, because I have an infrared
mm-hmm.
Sensor in it.
Yeah.
It's so easy to make small things. And so there could be 1,000 things that...
I think it's a very fair point to say that it's about confidence, because the system sort of like, you know, makes you grow in a certain way.
Yeah.
But I also feel it's about a sense of ownership. Like, I mean, it's one thing to say that I take ownership over a certain product or a project, but it's another to say that if something goes wrong, I will take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
And I know that, a lot of times in India, you don't want to take that responsibility. You like to have the power, but you don't want to take the responsibility if it goes off.
That's true. That's true. We were already discussing this once at the mailing list. There's also another guy, Nick Farr from the US, who's also very, very much a contributor at the Congresses. And so we were just discussing, okay, so what needs to be done that people feel confident enough mm-hmm. to contribute and to take ownership?
Right.
So we said, okay, so we were trying to grab out our own experience. So how did it start for us? And so we found out it needs to be something like a, not a fail-safe environment, but mm-hmm. a fail-to-safe.
Okay.
Safe to fail.
Safe to fail, yeah. Okay.
So that's like, if you now are up for it and you would like to make a workshop with the kids, making whatever, this tiny robot,
mm-hmm.
And at the end it doesn't work,
yeah,
it's not a problem.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, okay, you made this wiki entry, you're going to do it, and then it's not going to happen, so we delete the page and everything's fine.
Yeah.
So what is the problem? And, sure, there needs to be things then. You need to get some hardware, and you need to get the kids and some soldering irons, but that is all where the whole community, the whole group of the Himachal Hill hackers will support you in it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're sitting with the kids and you're exploring, oh no, that's not going to work out, there might be someone else who's saying, okay, if I look at your parts, okay, huh, yeah, that's not going to work out. But hey, I have this thing with me. Mm-hmm. Actually, we can take this and that, and then together it's going to get something different. But the kids are still doing something.
Yeah.
And so it, even if you want to see it like this, then it failed because your idea didn't work out. But something else happened. So nothing failed at all because the kids were still doing something.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, if you are taking up responsibility for... So at the moment, we need to find out some pricing for some hardware stuff or from some rental equipment or whatever. So this is a task just everyone can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can just find out pricing and and there's nothing that is wrong about it.
Mm.
And sure, if you give a paper for giving a talk and if you don't show up, that's your problem. But then you failed because of your own, like, your own planning and time management and taking ownership of something is actually, I mean, it's not too hard to take responsibility for things when they work.
Yeah.
And when they not work, it's not that much of an issue as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So we are trying, at least trying to have this safe to fail, or providing this safe to fail environment, and by thinking of how the CCC conferences work with this distance now and with this Indian view, I definitely see the same concepts actually.
Okay.
So I'm pretty confident that this is going to work out.
Yeah.
And I also believe that people already get confidence and also get take up ownership. There's a lot, there's a huge community of open source contributors in India who feel responsible for their piece of code and who feel responsible for the project they're involved with, like Mozilla or Arduino, all those projects. And so I hope that this people will show up and do great things.
No, I hope so too. And thank you so much for talking to me. I would love to know how this goes.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, the stuff that you said, that so many people from different fields come together.
Mm.
Like, to me, the interaction between someone doing humanities and technology, and then to have like a village kid or any kid for that matter together, already creates opportunities for creativity.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, at the end of it, we hear good things that happen.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that is the end of our little podcast. And hopefully if we have more, you would be hearing more from us soon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.